Okay, let's get comfy. It is match day 25 in the Barclays Premier League. 13 more after this one. And it all got started at the Etihad. The early Saturday kickoff for Manchester City, riding high at the top of the league against West Ham, who are currently in the Champions League position, fourth, and have had a very impressive 2021 this far. For City, coming off that Champions League victory in Germany, they had the combination of Aguero and De Bruyne selected from the start, and that hasn't happened this season. Don't know whether that was an omen for the Hammers. West Ham very much at full strength with Benrahma on the bench, but Antonio got it with his new strike partner now, Lingard, looking extremely potent. Let's get to the action then. 90% of the possession for City in the first 10 minutes, but not one effort on target for Randolph, who's deputising for the injured Fabianski in West Ham's goal. 13 minutes, so first bit of clever play by De Bruyne, and he caused some alarm with a cross into the box, but the Hammers managed to clear it. And then 18 minutes, up the other end, Lingard involved, and he had a shot that ended up at the feet of Suchet after a deflection. But again, Hammers were denied by some swift defensive work by, I think it was Diaz. And it was that man, Diaz, who shortly after opened the scoring. This followed a period of pressure by City, and the ball came out on the right, throwing a clearance to De Bruyne, who shifted it onto his weaker left foot, but you wouldn't have thought so. An absolutely peach of a cross that anticipated Diaz and Stones running in, but Diaz got a header to it, and it went wide of Randolph, and that was 1-0 to City. What I noted was that when City do lose the ball, they are so quick at getting it back, and that's one of their biggest qualities. But West Ham were competitive and combative, and Lingard again on 38 minutes managed to get across to Antonio, and his effort was hooked just inches wide of the target. And justice was done, really, 3 minutes before the break. City lost the ball just inside their own half, and quick break by West Ham. They managed to get the ball out to Sukal. I'm not sure that's pronunciation is right. Suval. And his cross was met by Lingard, whose first time hit managed to find the waiting Antonio from a few yards out, and he pushed the ball over the line, and the West Ham had levelled it up 1-1. Well, that was the score at the break. Second half action, well, it was a good game on the eye, that's for certain. Not a lot of shots on target at either end, but De Bruyne was running the show, really, for City. Aguero, we'd seen very little of him. Of course, he has been plagued by injuries and COVID. And he was replaced by Jesus midway through the second half. 67 minutes, though, Mahrez, who'd always looked a threat on the right, managed to create a yard of space, as he does. And he found Stones in the penalty box, and Stones swept the ball home. It was a pretty clinical finish from a centre-half, but it whistled past Randolph, and City had taken the lead again, 2-1. West Ham continued pushing forward, and the result was uncertain, really, right up until the end. And in fact, in the last minute of added time, Diop had a gorgeous opportunity from a a precision cross by Lingard, but his header just went inches wide. That was it then. Full-time score then. Manchester City continue their unbeaten run. They're now 13 points at the top ahead of second-placed United. Final score then, Manchester City 2, West Ham United 1. Right, brief highlights of the other three games on Saturday. The bottom of the table track clash, second from bottom, West Brom were at home to sixth from bottom, Brighton. Connolly was in for Brighton, Welbeck on the bench, and Ajayo, he couldn't play because he was basically subject to a ban, a suspension. O'Shea in for him. Didn't see too much of this match, so brief highlights. 10 minutes, West Brom opened the scoring from a corner when Bartley headed in from a few yards out. So Baggies one up. After that, Brighton took charge, really. And we saw a half that was almost beyond belief. First of all, they were awarded a penalty for handball. Grove stepped up and he hit it so hard he nearly broke the crossbar. But of course, it didn't go in. And then on 29 minutes, referee Mason awarded a free kick to Brighton just outside the box. And we were all sort of waiting in anticipation. He blew the whistle and Dunk stroked the ball in the corner, almost so nonchalant. It had a slight deflection off a West Brom player, but it was then put into some doubt as Mason had apparently had blown it the whistle a second time to stop play. That was literally a yard from the goal. So then he considered his position and awarded the goal. And then VAR had a look at it and they chalked the goal off to the astonishment of the Brighton players and, of course, Potter on the sidelines. So it remained 1-0. That was how it was at the break. And into the second half, Mope came on. He tested Johnson. His follow-up went way over, and second penalty for Brighton. Change of taker this time. Welbeck stepped up, and he managed to hit the post and made a right mess of the follow-up. Brighton on top once again, but they just couldn't get a decisive finish. So we got to final whistle time, and amazingly, West Bromwich Albion have got another win. They haven't had many, and they'd beaten Brighton by 1-0. Up then, St James Park, Newcastle, fourth from bottom at kick-off against Wolves. Wolves have had some decent results of late. Dubrovka was in goal for Newcastle. That's the first time he's been in for a long period. He got injured and then Darlow deputised and he kept the shirt. But on this occasion, Bruce put Dubrovka in. Joe Linton still deputising for the injured Callum Wilson. Wolves pretty much at full strength, really. Early on, Newcastle taking the game to Wolves. Almiron managed to beat an offside trap and ran through on goal, and his effort hit the post. Should have scored, really, but it was a decent break. And then St. Maximin was starting to cause some problems. Linton had a shot, which was pushed away by Patricio. But following up, St. Maximin put the ball in the net, but it was adjudged that he was offside. That was from a Willock shot, by the way, not a Joe Linton shot. So it remained a goalless. That was the first half. Second half, finally, Newcastle took the lead. Club captain Lascelles, following a lovely cross by Fraser earlier, in the build-up, there'd been some mesmerising work once again by Saint-Maximin, which forced a clearance out to Fraser, but the header was sweet and in the corner, 1-0 to the Magpies. Then Wolves really started to play their best football of the day, and Neves headed in a Neto cross to equalise. And then Newcastle had a great opportunity to get the 3 points on 82, but somehow the combination of Saiz and Dubrovka managed to steer an effort off the line and away to safety. And so that was from a Linton effort. So we got to the full-time siren, so to speak. Newcastle really will be kicking themselves. They should have got all 3 points here. But final score was Newcastle 1, Wolves 1. Last match on Saturday then was at Elland Road. Leeds against Aston Villa. Leeds, good win last time out against Southampton. Villa were pretty poor, but they were out without their talisman, Jack Grealish. And unfortunately, he was unavailable again. And Dean Smith rested Traore on the bench. McGuinn really was the one. Oh, and he also rested Bartley on the bench. So it was McGuinn who had the responsibility really to create the opportunities. Leeds, Costa was in from the front. Villa had El Ghazi in alongside McGuinn. I didn't see much of this game. It was pretty poor quality, to be honest. And basically, early on, there was an opportunity for Villa, and they took the lead from a cross. That was El Ghazi responsible for that. 1-0, and after that, Leeds had a few opportunities, but they were certainly not firing on all cylinders. Roberts had a save by Martinez, and Rafinha managed to head over, and all in all, it was a pretty poor watch. Surprisingly, Bielsa reacted to a question by the interviewer about the fact that his tied weren't on their best form, and he disputed that and just basically said we dominated the game. That wasn't what I saw, but we got to the final whistle anyway, and Dean Smith chalked up another win. Comparing Villa this year with last year, well, it's a transformation. So final score at Elland Road, Leeds 0, Aston Villa 1.